You've reached HVR THV. For information on Elite Hacksaws, press hash now. To leave a message for a specific extension, dial star followed by that extension. For Mr. Gates, please use extension 455. For Mr. Torvalds, please use extension 1337. If you wish to speak with an operator, please dial 0 now.
Welcome to episode 441 on the 16th of May 2006. You're listening to us live on Hacker Voice Radio. And just checking my levels because I sound a bit. Is that better? That sounds a bit. What's going on with this microphone, bastard? That's all right. Yes, listening to us live with Dark Nature for Tech Tuesday.
Hello.
How doth it go?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. Very happy, actually, because I got my, 6-month delayed, goodie bag of, Porn on Beta, Welcome to the Real World, album. I got myself, I got myself 2 DVD box sets of Sean Kennedy TV, as well as a box set of, I think, like, 8 fucking DVDs worth of, 40, 20, I don't know, like, a million episodes of, What the Hell. So I'm happy. I'm gonna be watching this throughout the following weekend. And enjoying every moment of it, because it's fantastic. I think, especially the way that they've gone about releasing this, this new album, you know, you can buy the album, but then when you find out that the album actually contains, very well encoded, MP3s within the album, as well as higher resolution pictures of the covers and inside slip, that you can actually reproduce and distribute freely amongst your community and whoever else you think might benefit from that.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. I like Rant Media. They really love to share.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So, yes. Well, one announcement before you can do whatever you need to do for Tech Tuesday. I know that you're taking control over that. As far as, I think, were you doing something with Pearl? Something very clever with Pearl?
It's not very, very clever. It's just an introduction to Pearl networking.
Interesting. Is it obfuscated?
No, very, very unobfuscated. And there are play-along notes in the forum.
Excellent. Play-along notes. I love that.
Excellent indeed.
So, just an announcement that I am making part of the Hack Mag Bonanza Live. You are free to now send in your submissions for the magazine. The email address is articles@h4kmag.co.uk. That's articles@h4kmag.co.uk, and please send them in, because the more we have, the more we'll have to choose from, and your article may indeed be the one that's published in the first episode. The background work that I really have to do now is get some front cover photography done. I've already got a collection of things that I probably will use for the front cover. Get that off to the editor to edit and all that kind of stuff. I think we've got a few ideas as far as that goes. So all we need is you guys who's listening right now, no matter where you are in the world, no matter who you are, send something that has interested you in the past or is interesting right now, or something uber-leet that you've just found out, maybe an exploit, maybe a way to do something clever with whatever you've ever found out that you can do, may it be a bash script, may it be, you know, whatever. Send it in to articles@hackmag.com. That's h4kmag.co.uk.
This sounds like a really exciting project. I reckon there's some good content in the tutorials as well on the forums that we could look at using.
Definitely. I think we might. But please do not post your article in the forums, because we really want this to be something, you know, dedicated for the magazine. There's no point in you posting it in the forums and then us publishing it in the magazine, because somebody's already read it. You know, it needs to be zero day, basically. It needs to be, you know, you send it to us, we edit it with your permission and publish it with your permission. Obviously, the all proceeds that come from the sale of the magazine go back into the magazine project. You know, we don't really pocket much of it. We'll try and keep the price of it down as much as we can, and hopefully that it will be something that picks up, and many more releases come off it.
Cool. So lots of exclusives.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, oh, that's pretty cool. And as Bilal says, it's going to be a community effort. So you all gotta get your writing hats on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's nothing to print, and it'll be a shame.
Just being asked in IRC, is it a Linux only articles? No, it's not Linux only. It's not only anything. It's anything, as I said, anything that has ever, that you have information about or have been working on, any tutorials, anything to do with anything that is any kind of specifically related to hacking and the hacking culture, just submit it, and obviously we can collate that and somehow make something of it. I think, you know, the more submissions we have, the better. You know, I don't think anything will be turned down necessarily. It may not be published in the first magazine release, but you know, as long as we've got some stuff going, then that'd be great. You know, originally we had some rumors that people were going to submit some gossip about some people, you know, make it all kind of juicy and interesting, and you know, we had some jokes going on about that it will be the kind of Hello magazine of the hacking world, which was quite funny. So something, you know, either light-hearted or very, very serious, you know, black hat, white hat, grey hat, you know, pink hat, whatever. Bring it in and email it in, and we'll see what happens from there.
And does it just need to be only technical articles, or can it be articles, think piece articles as well?
No, they can be think piece. They can be they can be political. They don't have to be purely technical. So there's no real limit on what we're taking here. It really is. It really is up to the people. It really is a community magazine at the end of the day. So it's, you know, if somebody wanted to post purely technical articles, then we'll accept those, and we'll have like a purely technical section in the magazine for that. That, you know, lists, I don't know, tutorials, how to's, and all that kind of stuff.
But as long as it's pertinent to the hacking community, then it's all good stuff, eh?
Yeah.
Cool. No, it sounds like a really good idea, and it's about time the UK had something like this—a proper homebrewed.
Yeah, that's, you know, we're not looking at we're not looking to compete with the 2600 magazine. We're not really looking to do that. We're just thinking, well, we can surely make our own, and Everything that I've ever done with any project, it's always been community focused. So obviously it's always starts off slow and then suddenly picks up and people want to, you know, submit and everything. So hopefully they're just commenting on my pink hat.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think what I meant by pink hat is I don't know. What did I mean by pink hat? I don't know. Submit an article and you know, we'll write a page about it. On
I don't know.
I'm sure nobody knows the way of Bilal's mind.
Yeah. So, N says it sounds gay.
Sounds rather gay. Well, you know, I'm sure... I know that there are gay hackers out there.
I'm certain there are.
Yeah, and I'm sure they appreciate, you know, acknowledgement of the gay hacking scene. You know, there's Strom Carlson. He's a big leader in that kind of thing.
Uh huh.
And some said, you know, myself, but you know, I've never admitted it.
No.
Right, would you have enough time if we went through the news and then run in? How much do you think you need for...
Well, I've actually done a dry run or anything, mostly just writing up the examples, and I'm just going to talk through the examples, really.
Okay.
So I reckon... I reckon we can shoot through the news.
Cool. Okay, let's see what we have in the news.
Okie dokie.
Right. UK Project Deliver RuleNet. A British satellite will be launched in 2008 to help bridge Europe's digital divide. The Hellas spacecraft owned by Avanti Screen Media PLC will deliver broadband internet services to rural Europe. The 75 million, that's 110 million euros satellite, will be launched and built by EDIS Astrium. And they will receive a third of its funding through the European Space Agency, ESA for short.
Cool.
Could be a pretty cool thing, anyway. Getting the
broadband out into the rural community.
Yeah,
not a bad thing as well.
I'm quite interested to see how this whole thing will actually work. But yeah.
Hmm. Certainly, I know that previously with satellite internet, it's been nice and fast coming down, but pretty slow upstream, because you tend to use the standard POTS telephone for your upstream, and it's only the downstream that comes through the satellite.
Yeah.
And they're very expensive indeed. But, you know, the satellite reception technology has got a bit cheaper now, so maybe it's time. Maybe its time has come.
Yes, very exciting, actually. Very exciting, that story. Okay, what else do we have? DARPA plots emergency man cannon. You'd think that with the threat of global terrorism and fighting two wars, the U.S. Defense Department would have a little more time on its hands to start a circus. However, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, has filed a patent application for a contraption designed to hurl SWAT teams and other emergency workers into the roofs of inaccessible tall buildings. The human cannonball style, the New Scientist reports. Interesting. I think the circuses all over the world will have something to say about that patent.
I mean, this has got a lot of scope for error and comedy value. you know, with SWAT teams hurling through the air and bounce off the side of buildings at great speed. It's going to be a lot of sort of doodles about tech stuff.
Yeah, you've got to appreciate the comedy value right there. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's just got to look like, you know, Wile E. Coyote, yeah, going into the oncoming locomotive. Smack! sir, I needed to go up a bit. That's going to be fantastic. I've actually not been the first one to try that one.
Yeah. So you were saying about the 360?
Yeah, it seems the 360's been cracked. Mm. It looks like the Xbox 360 has finally been broken into to one degree or another. According to someone named Commodore Forever, posting on the Xbox Hacker BBS, there is now patched firmware available for some revisions of the console. So that's pretty good stuff. Although I imagine that Microsoft will be hopping mad because they really didn't want that to be hacked at all, did they? Or used for anything.
Mm.
That they don't already control.
Yeah.
But good technology, and get it opened up. Good stuff.
Definitely.
I still think I won't be buying one. I think I'll be going for the PS3. But maybe if I can get one second hand, I'll have a play.
So, what do we have here as interesting kind of hacker voice radio news? A transsexual whose 17-year marriage to a Harris was nullified when the wife discovered her husband was a woman and not legally a parent of a 14-year-old daughter born from donor sperm. The Court of Appeal has ruled the female-to-male transsexual referred into court as Mr. J is now in law a man under the 24-hour Gender Act, the 2004 Gender Recognition Act, and can lawfully marry a woman if he wishes. Wait a second here. You've been married with a guy for 17 years.
And it's never...
Did you never, you know, bother to kind of... Ooh, I wonder what's down there, sort of thing. You know, rub your hand in those areas. I mean, come on, well, seriously.
I mean, if it's a female-to-male transsexual, maybe he, she has... the requisite parts, but...
Sure, but still...
It would have come up in conversation or something. I don't know. It sounds a bit like daily sport news, this. I don't know. Let's just have a look at the link and see what it goes to.
I think, even if he did have the equipment, still, it wouldn't have looked the same, would it? It would, you know...
Well, no, there'd be a certain amount of scar tissue.
Exactly,
surely.
Yeah.
And,
anyway.
Yeah.
It's one of those topics that we could spend a whole hour discussing.
Maybe. But there's not so queer as folk.
Yeah. So, right, unless you have any more news stories, I think...
No, I mean, there's the reality CCTV story.
Yeah.
But, mixed feelings on that one myself. On the one hand, I think that if there's going to be cameras everywhere, then we should all be able to watch them.
Yeah.
But I've lived in neighbourhoods where there's been neighbourhood watch, and it's either, you know, obsessive curtain switches that will report you just for going outside with a black t-shirt on, or like where I live now, where neighbourhood watch means wait till you go out, because at least then we'll know when it's safe to break in your house and steal your kit. So, you know. But the jury's out on that one for the time being, I think.
Yes. We did think, I think we talked a bit about that last night.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
I was offline last night.
Cool.
Waiting for, well, today, luckily, the man from NCL came with a new cable box, and I'm back on.
Lovely.
Yeah, the cable box went to cable box heaven. As a bit of a shitter. So no internet for Uncle Dark Nature, which is a shame.
Oh.
And I didn't know what to do with myself.
Okay. So,
on that note,
we're 20 minutes in, so go ahead. Okay. I'll stop you if you run to, let's say, if we've got like 10 minutes to go till the end, I'll kind of jump in. But it obviously depends how long you tend to go. So take it away for Tuesday.
Away. Okay, for today's Tech Tuesday, we're talking about using Perl to access the internet. I've made some example programs that will go along with this talk. You'll find those, if you want, on the Hacker Voice forums under Programming in Perl. The thread is, it's the only thread in there, so you'll have no trouble finding it. If you want to play along with the tutorials, you'll need to have Perl installed in your computer. Now, if you're running Linux, you've already got Perl, but if you're running Windows, then you'll need to download it off the interweb. I recommend ActiveState, which can be found at activestate.com. Right. Okay, why would you want to use Perl to access the internet? Well, web spiders comes to mind. Yeah, Perl's ideal for that. It's very, very, very handy, very quick, and very easy to program. You may want to write a program that checks your email for you, or you may want to write a program to download your latest RSS feeds, check your Usenet posts. The range of possibilities is endless, and fortunately, Perl has a bunch of modules that make it nice and handy dandy simple to do. In the first example, we're going to look at raw socket programming with Perl. Only a very simple example that creates a new socket and waits quietly for connections, then echoes the connection data to the terminal screen. Okay, I'm just checking something. Okay, yeah. To use sockets, you use the Perl standard library IOSocket, which comes with Perl. Create a new socket in the usual way. Now, fortunately, all the Perl libraries can be accessed in a object programming context. So if you want to create a new socket, it's just my socket name, which can then be referenced as a file handle, is new IOSocket. In this case, we're using an internet socket. Sockets can exist in the Unix domain or the internet domain. Since we're talking about using Perl to access the internet, we'll use the internet domain. So when you create a new socket, it can either be a listening or a server socket or a client socket. The methods for programming these, Fennec was the same. Except that you will set local or paired addresses and ports. Sockets, while they're very handy for doing for doing anything basically, you have to do everything from scratch. Therefore, if you wanted to write a web spider, or if you wanted to write a program to check your email, you would have to code in all the SMTP protocol and the POP3 protocol and whatever protocols you wanted to use from scratch, which is kind of reinventing the wheel. Fortunately, those nice people who invented Perl also wrote up a bunch of libraries which will take care of most of the common tasks that we'd want to take care of when accessing the web. The first one we're going to look at is LWP. LWP is short for libwwwperl, and is a library for World Wide Web functions in Perl. If you look at the first example is the it's a simple HTTP request. Initially, what we do is we create a new LWP user agent. Now, a user agent in Perl is essentially a browser object. It contains a whole bunch of methods such as get, post, put, etc., etc. Those are all referenced, accessed. An agent or a browser object that you instantiate via LWP user agent. For example, in the first example that I've posted, we create a new user agent, give it an agent name. That's important. We give an agent a name, and not just instantiate the agent, because some sites are a bit funny about allowing libwwperl to look at their site. Especially Google, I found out as I was creating these. So, give it a browser name. I've chosen Dark Agent because I'm Dark Nature and it's my agent. Okay, having instantiated your agent, or your browser object, you can ask it to reference a URL. The URL is standard URL. In this case, I've chosen to look at google.co.uk and create a agent request object, which is just a get, and you tell it to get the URL. The result is then returned as an object. It will check if it's a success. If it is a success, it will print the result object to the terminal as a string. Otherwise, it will fail and just tell you that it couldn't get it. Nice and simple. Nice and relatively useless. However, we can build upon this. In the next example, if you're not playing along and looking at the scripts as we go along, this might seem a bit abstract and a bit hard to follow. In the next example, we're going to set up a simple web server using HTTP daemon. The HTTP of the libraries contain the subset of the LWP, which is also a subset of sockets, but takes care of all your hypertext transfer protocol requests. Okay, so you create a new daemon, a new HTTP daemon in this case. Give it a local address, a local port, and a maximum number of connections. Max connections is the maximum number of connections it can receive, and you'd set that according to the according to your box and according to the context of how you plan to use it. So you instantiate that in the usual manner, just using my daemon, is HTTP daemon new. Nice object-oriented way of programming these things. Set a local address, set a local port, and set your maximum number of connections. Then you create a connection object based upon that, which then receives the connections, but by calling the accept method. In the case of the example that I've posted, I've just told it to while it's receiving a connection, while accepts is alive, it will get the connection request method, and if it's a get, then it will return a page to the browser. in this case it always returns the same page, which in this case is called index.html. However, you can arrange for it to take any values that you like as a query string, which will be passed through the browser and returned to the browser via your connection object that you've instantiated. Handy, handy stuff. There's also on the forums, there's also a little index.html page which you can use to test out the web server example. Moving on from that, we can bring it all together. Use your LWP user agents and your HTTP daemon and create a nice simple HTTP proxy. The HTTP example that I've done runs on your local host on port 3137 because it's elite. Will take all of your browser requests and forward them onto the internet, whilst echoing the headers from the remote server to the terminal, as well as any cookies that it picks up along the way. The cookies are handled using HTTP cookies. This allows you to store cookies in a file, or in the case of this example, store them in memory. This is pretty handy because if you want to dump your cookies, you just kill the script, start it up again, all your cookies are gone. You can see from the that building basically any web-enabled applications in Perl is a pretty simple job, because a lot of the hard work's done for you in the standard Perl modules that I've used. For example, a web crawler would be reasonably straightforward to do using LWP robots. Which a lot of web crawlers actually do use. LWP user agent, as I've said, is responsible for a lot of the hard work in the HTTP proxy example, and also a subset of HTTP. Request, which is HTTP request common, which will easily allow you to access the get, post, put methods via the LWP wrapper module. Sorry, I was hoping that people may have been following along. Because I was going to be asking if there's any questions at this point, but there seems not to be. As I say, the examples they're not documented, not annotated, but I think that they're clearly enough written that if you wanted to build upon them, then you certainly can do. They're free to use as you want. Although I would say that the HTTP proxy that I've posted is very much a quick and dirty fix, in that while it works, there are certain circumstances that will cause it to fail. For example, it doesn't at the moment handle server redirects very well. This isn't because LWP doesn't handle server requests very well. It's just that my program so far doesn't. As I say, this is very much a whistle-stop introduction to what you can and can't do with Perl and the World Wide Web. Certainly, I wouldn't have time to go through everything that can be done with Perl and World Wide Web, because it can do a lot. But if you wanted to check out further reading and further reference on this, I would highly recommend Perl in a Nutshell from O'Reilly and the Perl Cookbook also from O'Reilly, which I like to refer to more or less every day when I'm writing Perl programs, because I like the Perl. So that's basically it. That's my basic introduction to Perl and the web. Any questions or queries can certainly be sent to me at darknature@operationfishnet.org or post them in the thread on the forum. And I'd certainly, any questions or views or modifications, I'd like to see it. Thank you.
Good work, mate. That was very well done.
Thanks. I mean, as I say, it's pretty much a whistle-stop tour, and while it's a sort of a discussion about programming and what have you, I don't want to get too deeply into the breaking it apart line by line. But I wanted it to sort of just sort of whet people's appetites as to what can be done with Perl, sort of for accessing the web. So I think it's probably done that.
I think some people had problems listening to the live show. I'm going to have to play around and see what the issue is. Obviously, it just came up just now as we went live, so it's a bit annoying. But anyway, it's fine. It's all recorded, and I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't reading along the IRC that closely.
It might distract you a bit if you were.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a chance to look at the examples in the forum?
I did. I had a quick run through them.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely very well presented.
Oh, thanks. I mean, as I say, there's a whole stack of stuff that you can do with Perl and the web, and the examples that I've posted are really barely scratch the surface of what's possible.
Sure. It is a very versatile programming language.
Oh, yeah. I think to say that Perl's versatile is to saying that a drowning man has mushed skin.
I'm sure he has moist skin. I think I might have identified the problem. Okay. I'll have to work on that a bit later, never mind. Okay, so I guess that's it as far as Tuesday goes. I don't know if you have any more things to add.
No, I'll wind it up on that one.
Cool.
I've kind of out of my that's my flow now, I think, anyway. But yeah, that's basically it, anyway.
Yeah. Excellent. For those of you who obviously couldn't hear it too well on live recording, I apologise for that. I don't know what is actually going on. I can hear some issues in my right ear, some kind of breakage or loss of connection. Don't know where that would be. Maybe a rat got in and started nibbling at some of my cables. But nevertheless, I'll have to figure that out. Thank you very much, Dark Nature, for stepping in to do today, this week's Tech Tuesday. But it was very well presented with obviously with the post in the forums as well. That's it's fantastic for people to go over, and probably when they download the show, they can search through that and you know, at their leisure, be informed about how to play around with the useful ways of Perl and playing around with web.
Yeah, there may be a follow up at some point.
Excellent.
Yeah, as I say, I like the old I like the Perl.
It is a very, very useful programming language, especially when you start playing around with obfuscation and all sorts of stuff. It's fucking it's really ace.
It is the business, yeah.
Hello, Goldfish.
Goldfish.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Oh, hi.
Can you
hear? I don't know, Jack.
Can you hear everyone?
Yes, I think so.
Excellent.
Am I having a huge echo on this end?
Are you? Ah, it sounds like you are.
Yeah, it's because I've got my speakers on. Give me a second.
Ah, oh, please. Thank fuck for that.
Sounds fine, yeah.
It's because he had these bloody speakers on.
Sorry.
Caller, please, you know, turn down that radio.
Just like proper talk radio. People calling in, leaving the radio on.
Yeah. I think what people have to kind of understand is that, you know, I do this from a corner in my bedroom, and it is very much amateur radio. So you know, if we get a good show out, then we get a good show. If we have a few problems, then I guess we have a few problems. But you know, from most of the things, if you can't hear it at that moment on the air, then you can always download it and listen to it at your pleasure. At any point in time.
Indeed. Speaking of downloadable shows and what have you, there was BBC's, I think it's called Go Digital or Click or something. You know, the technology TV show that they have.
Yeah.
It's on the cable and what have you. I watched it the other day. It was their security special, and well, it was interesting. What's his name was on it? McKinnon.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting, but they kind of didn't put hackers in a good light at all, really. You should watch it and just check out the way that they say hackers all the way through the show. They're always saying, well, you want to be careful with what information you give out, because hackers will rob your bank. Yeah. and the hackers will get your personal information. It's it made me, well, you know, in light of the story that they printed the other week where they got a where they got somebody in the, you know, London 2600 meet and basically gave hackers a, you know, a fair write up.
Yeah.
They seem to have turned around again and started demonising us. Hmm. which is a bit of a fucking shame, really. I wasn't very pleased. And they had some guy from Microsoft who was pimping out the Windows which kind of made me smile. Because, you know, he was saying that he's always a busy man.
Mm. Well, you know, the more we can do to really get a good light as far as hacking and hacking community goes, the better we are as a community. And I think it's really is a never-ending battle.
You're totally breaking up now, Belial.
Am I?
Yes.
Ooh, that's crap. Well, let's finish the show off as soon as we can, really, because I think everything's breaking up here.
Oh no.
I think it's goldfish.
Oh, there we are.
Oh. I'm here.
I think it might be goldfish.
Goldfish.
Oh yeah, blame me. It's all my fault.
Sounds like you're on a train.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, that's because I am on the train.
Oh, okay.
Can't you tell? Just happens to be a train with Irk and Skype on it.
Right.
Now, there's a trick with Skype. I found this weekend that those nice people at MyCloud. Well, if you have Skype on your mobile device and you're in the vicinity of a MyCloud hotspot, then you might want to try firing up Skype and seeing if it works. Especially if you've not quite got any of your MyCloud credit sorted out.
Right.
It might be handy to try.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if they actually allow you, if it's an open network, would it work, just like any open network? Because hasn't Skype now gone free? You can Skype out for free anyway.
Hold on.
No way.
Yeah, Skype out is free now. It's all calls to US and Canada from anywhere in the world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's going to be so fun.
Yeah. There was a post in BinRev forums about it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's free to Skype out anywhere in the world till the end of the month, I think it is. I don't know, something stupid like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was real surprised because I was sat in the pub on some lunch on a Saturday afternoon, fired up my PDA, found there was a MyCloud connection. I'd never used MyCloud before, so I opened up the Internet Explorer on my PDA.
Yeah.
And it took me straight to the authentication page, where you try and give it your subscriber details. Obviously, I don't subscribe to MyCloud because I've never used it before. But I noticed that I've been assigned an IP address and it was unencrypted. So I just decided to try out the old Skype and see what would happen. And imagine my surprise when the whole buddy list popped up right there in front of me. I thought, wow, this is good stuff. So I did a bit of instant messaging.
Yeah.
And then realised that I was being eyeballed by a couple of Mac pissheads.
Yeah, I was talking to you then, wasn't I?
That's the one, yeah. I was enjoying myself. I looked up and there's like a couple of... I mean, this was what, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, was it? Maybe not even that late.
Yeah.
And people were like, they'd had enough to drink anyway. And they were clearly taking an interest in the PDA, so... made me excuses and ran the fuck off with it because I thought, well, either they're going or I'm going to be leaving it behind. But quite an interesting discovery, and something might be worth further investigation to see what else you can do.
Yeah, go ahead, hacksaw it. Do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Dial one.
Dial one, indeed.
Followed by 0800-50-50-69-999. Something crazy like that. I don't know, call me and I'll probably tell you to piss off or something. Arr. Call a pirate for free for a month.
Arr. 1-800-PIR-8.
Right.
I like the voicemail introduction that I played today.
Yes, that's courtesy of our good friend Naxter, aka the Fish of Gold.
All right.
Okay, I did kind of steal that idea of some other poncho, but it was fun.
Was that the PLA?
Yes, it was.
Ah, right. Yeah, I thought I recognised the idea. Yeah, I heard PLA today. They're quite good. I quite enjoy that show.
Hmm. I didn't try cactus, though.
No, no, that was...
I thought that'd be a bit too unoriginal.
Yeah.
Ooh, can I just... Sorry. I just say something?
Yes.
Indeed.
I found a discovery on a news group this morning.
Right.
Whilst I was looking for something. You know the 1-2-3 speaking clock thing?
Yeah.
And how it's really expensive and it's the time sponsored by Accurist.
Okay.
Well, the old speaking clock that isn't sponsored by Accurist is still running.
Ah, okay. So it's, they haven't turned it off yet?
Well, it's running on a national rate number.
Okay.
Which is 0870-321-8081.
Oh,
and if you didn't get there's a recording.
Cool.
So yeah, if you ring that up, you'll get a nice woman with some very good R rolling.
Really?
3 o'clock. Exactly.
She was all about the enunciation, she was, wasn't she? Yeah. Ah, excellent.
I wonder if you can Skype out.
You can.
In.
To the clock. Yes, can.
Outstanding.
Anyway, let's, I want to play some Pawn on Beta. So, should we close things off now, or any further?
One more thing.
Okay.
Check the, THV meetings forum. I've made a post, which will excite some people.
Ooh. I have to watch this after I finish this, because I can't do it at the same
yes.
time. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Check it out. And, remember, send your articles to articles@h4kmag.co.uk. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Don't do too many drugs. This is Breathless again. Pawn on Beaten.